I had been talking in the past Sundays about, first I talked about a lifestyle of repentance. And with the lifestyle of repentance, I don't want it to be confused by meaning that we sin on a continual basis. That's part of our life, is sin, so we have to repent of that sin. That's not what I'm talking about. That lifestyle of repentance is a lifestyle of giving up, of sacrifice. It's like what Paul said, that I die every day. You know, and that's what he meant by taking up your cross. That lifestyle, that is a dedicated, that is a, you know, that you're crucifying yourself. Okay, and that's what I meant by that. That's what I mean by that. That lifestyle of repentance. We have to live in that. We have to be aware of that every day, that we have to submit and not sin. You know, it's something we have to always be comprehending in our life. You know, that is something that we're capable of. Does that make sense? Because we're all capable of sin. We were born that way. And only because of the grace of God and only because of the Holy Spirit that can dwell inside of you can we not sin. Okay? So in the Nazarene church, I've been talking about the articles of faith, and I said one of our articles of faith is entire sanctification. And what is sanctification? I think for many years it's something that throughout the years we've heard less and less and less preached about, is sanctification. And a lot of people don't even understand what it means, even members of the church. And I think for so many years some people thought that it came with such a grand experience that they didn't believe that they were capable of having it. And so it made them not understand it. And I've heard people say that. They never thought, and people in the Nazarene church never thought that they were sanctified because they didn't have this experience, this windows of heaven open up, and this, you know, grand experience that happened with some that preached that. You know, I had a huge experience that happened to me. And because of that, they preached that huge experience, and because another person didn't get that experience, they feel like that they were never sanctified. And I will say that the scriptures teach us over and over again that we don't live our life by feelings. It's not about how we feel. Because there's sometimes we don't feel so good, but it doesn't have anything to do with our relationship with God. Because we're here in an imperfect world, in an imperfect body, doing the best we can for Christ. And that's why it's so important that we need to be sanctified. That's why it's so important that we need to live by the Spirit, as the Scripture says. And so this lifestyle, or this it's after justification. We're justified by grace. You know, God saves us. But there's a lot of scripture, and I'm going to go through these, and I didn't give Verna any scripture tonight because they're just too much. But if you want to write them down as I'm going through them, that's fine, or if you want to get a list from me later, that's okay, because there's just so many scriptures here on sanctification or on being sanctified or the word sanctified in the scriptures. And in 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God, our God." And in Romans 8:9-11, it says, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Okay, I know that was a lot. It's a big mouthful. In Romans 15:15, it says, "But I have written very boldly to you on some point so as to remind you again because of the grace that was given me from God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, but whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22 says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. I'm going through a lot of scripture tonight because this is more of a Bible study than it is preaching, but I want you to hear these. Ephesians 1:13-14 says, in him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith and in truth. There's 87 scriptures on sanctification, okay? And Titus 3:4-7, I don't think we'll get through all of them, so I'm not going to try. It says, in Titus 3:4-7, it says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. 1 Peter 1:1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Let me see, there was one more. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me there. I'll read a little bit there. If you don't, it's okay. And we talk about this importance of the Holy Spirit being in our life. And I talked about that, you know, last Sunday, about what the Holy Spirit does in our life and why it was so important that the Holy Spirit is a part of our life. And but we're talking about this sanctification is a heart perfection, some call it, and we're going to get into that here in just a minute. And but it's the dying out of the old man. It's the purging of the old man, that sinful desire, that desire to sin. Okay? And so what Paul says here, and I want to confirm these scriptures before I get into this, because I want you to hear these first. That's the reason I'm doing this. It says, Paul says this very clearly. He says, what shall I say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Now, what he's saying here is he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to the church. He's talking to people who are already saved. And anytime the word sanctification or the sanctifying power is used in the scripture, it's always in reference to people who already know the truth. It's always talking to people that have already been saved. And so Paul here says, what shall I say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? One of the scriptures, so that grace may abound. Do we go on sinning? You know, after we receive the knowledge of the truth. Meaning after we're saved, do we continue sinning? Should we do that? Is that our life? If you're saved, do you go on sinning? And I know Brian had brought that up Wednesday night about, you know, some people believe that we sin daily. We sin thought, word, and deed. We can't help it. It's part of our life that we have no control over that. Well, in the flesh, we don't. We don't have control over that in the flesh, but in the spirit, we do. And that's why it's so important. If we live in the Spirit, if Jesus has saved us, and then He's sanctified us, if we are living in the Spirit, then sin is not in control of us any longer. God's in control of the sin because He pushes it out of us. He pushes that desire away from us. And so I'm going to go on. He says, by no means, he says, we are those who have, I'm going to turn the page, died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So if we're baptized, what did John say? John came before Christ and John baptized with water. Okay, which is important part of our church, is an important testimony that we give when we get baptized. But he also said that there will be one that come after me that was not going to baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit in fire, or the Holy Ghost in fire. That's what he said. Why? Why was that important? For this reason right here. Because now that we've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, now that the Holy Spirit lives within us, guess what? That sin nature. We don't sin anymore. Or do we? Are we capable of it? Yes, we are. Because we're still human. We're still here. We still are capable of that sin. That's why he says we've got to live in the Spirit. We've got to die daily. We've got to keep up the faith. We've got to, you know, Paul goes on in the Scriptures about we can't fall short. We can't, you know, we got to keep this. We got to keep Christ centered in our life. We got to keep that Holy Spirit kindled, that flame burning in our life all the time. That's something we have to do because we are buried with Him through the baptism and death. We've died out to that nature. That's not part of our life any longer. And I say people can be saved. The disciples were saved before they received the Holy Spirit, right? But they're, you know, people have this life like this. It's up and down and it's miserable sometimes unless they live by the Spirit. And when you live by the Spirit and you let God take complete control of your life, then you learn that to rely on that. And you don't even, you know, somebody asks you, do you sin today? I've had people ask me that, honestly ask me that. You mean you didn't sin today at all? It's like, I never even really thought about it. Seriously, I never thought. I don't think I have. Why? I haven't done anything that made me feel bad. I haven't said any bad things to somebody today or thought anything bad today. So I guess really I don't think I have. I know I haven't. You know? So you can. You can live daily lives without sin in your life. But it becomes a, you know, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 says, for if we have been united with Him in death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in resurrection like His. For we know that our old self, listen, our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Amen? I mean, and so many people just don't accept that theology. They don't accept this word that Paul gives us. And there's more scriptures. Like I said, there's 87 scriptures that I found on sanctification or on the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Nazarene Church believes what they believe. You know, it's a Wesleyan belief. And in our manual, this is the newer manual. I brought mine tonight, Verna. It says, We believe that sanctification is the work of God which transforms believers into the likeness of Christ. It is wrought by God's grace through the Holy Spirit in initial sanctification or regeneration, simultaneously with justification, entire sanctification, and a continued perfecting work of the Holy Spirit, culminating in glorification. In glorification, we are fully conformed to His image of the Son of God, or the Son. We believe that entire sanctification is the act of God subsequent to regeneration, by which believers are made free from original sin and depravity and brought into a state of entire devoutment to God and the holy obedience of love made perfect. I know that's a lot of big words, isn't it? That's a lot of big words. But C.W. Ruth, he explains it pretty well. And this is something that's been taught in the church for many years, the writings of C.W. Ruth. And he writes that the human feature being a consecration and devoutment to God and His service, and the divine work in sanctification, a complete deliverance and purification from all sin. And, you know, the Webster's Dictionary definition is to make sacred or holy, to set apart to a holy or religious use, to consecrate, to appropriate rites, to hallow, to make free from sin, to cleanse from moral corruption and pollution, and to purify. And you think about that, only God can do that. We can't do that ourselves. We can try all we want, but we cannot do that. We can never achieve that without God, without the Holy Spirit doing that in our life, because that's not something that we do. We come to Him and we ask for forgiveness, and with a true heart, when we ask for forgiveness, He is just to forgive us because of His grace, that His blood that He shed on the cross. He will forgive you of your sins. But when it comes to the consecration and filling of the Holy Spirit, that's only something that He will do for you if you are truly saved and you're truly united with the church. Because He wants you to be united with Him. He wants you to have that heart that wants to be, okay? You want to be. You know, I think a lot of people that want to be good people want to be good people. I try to be a good person. I try. But, you know, we can never be good. There was only one good, and that's our Father, you know, Jesus Christ, who was here on earth. And He said there was only but one good, and that's my Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said. It's the act of God's grace. It can't be obtained by works or growth. It has to be a divine act. It's a cleansing from sin, a pardon, and a cleansing act identically. And I try to bring this out because I know a lot of people get confused by it, and that's the reason I wanted to teach on this, because it is an important part of the Nazarene Church, because it's something, and even in the Church of God Anderson, and many of the Wesleyan churches, the Methodist Church, which the Methodist Church has a little bit different way of thinking. They grow in grace. They grow in some churches don't even believe that you are sanctified truly until you die. But that's not what Paul says. Paul doesn't say that. Paul says you die daily. Paul says that you're what did Romans say? Right here in the book of Romans. What did he say right here? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, in verse 5, for if we have been united with Him in death like His, we are certainly also to be united with Him in His resurrection. That's now. That's not something after we die, you know, or after this fleshly body dies. That's now. That's for us now. And that's what I'm saying there. Let's go on. I'll try to clarify this for you tonight as best I can. John Wesley believed that there is a gradual approach to the blessing so far as human part of consecration, preparation, and faith is concerned, but the divine work of deliverance from all sin is instantaneous. And that's what John Wesley believed. And that's where we get this thought, because he had this, you know, he was saved, he was doing things, but he had this experience that happened to him that he then realized that there was more to it. There was just more to it, and he knew. And so that's what led him to this theology. Another theologian said sanctification is the beginning process of final issues and the full eradication of sin itself. Another theologian by the name of M.E. Church, he said, from the very first years of my ministry to the present time, I have held with Watson's belief, Fletcher's belief, and John Wesley's belief that regeneration and entire sanctification are separate and distinct one from another, and therefore received at different times, both received by faith, and the last one, the privilege, I love that, is the privilege of every believer, as the first is of every one that are saved. To all this I say amen. You know, I love this kind of stuff. The words sanctify and sanctification are made from the Latin adjective sanctus, and meaning holy, and the Latin verb facere, meaning to make, and the suffix shun, also meaning the act of. So the root meaning of the word plainly means and signifies the act of making holy. Is the act of making holy. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We know this scripture in Hebrews 13 and 12 and 13. It says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. No man can make an honest pretense to believing the Bible and not believe in some sort of sanctification. Let's see. I want to bring a couple more things out here tonight. I mentioned that already, that some people believe that sanctification is something that happens when you die. And there are some that believe that, you know, but we don't believe that. The distinctions between justification and sanctification. What is justification? Does anybody know what justification is? What's that stand for? Come on. Just as if I'd never sinned. You are justified. Amen? I love that, right? Just as if you had never sinned. That's you. If you're saved tonight, when Jesus looks at you, when you're presented to God, it'll be just like you never sinned before in your life. That's the way you're presented. Amen? Without spot or wrinkle. Well, there's a difference between justification and sanctification. The term justification and sanctification are not used in technical or critical sense, but in justification there is life. Amen? And in sanctification there is life more abundant. In justification there is love, and in sanctification there is perfect love which casteth out fear. In justification, the old man is repressed. And in sanctification, the old man is destroyed. Amen? That's the difference. Listen to this. Now, this is the difference. In justification, there is peace with God. In sanctification, there is peace of God. Justification destroys the shoots of sin. And sanctification destroys the roots of sin. I like that one right there. Justification gives us a right to heaven, and sanctification gives us fitness for heaven. Justification we put on the new man. In sanctification, we put off the old man. I love that one too. In justification, there is joy, intermittent joy. In sanctification, there is fullness of joy and abiding joy. Justification includes a pardon, which is judicial, is a judicial act. And in sanctification, there is a cleansing, which is a priestly function. And justification is obtained by the surrender, repentance, and faith. That's where we get justification. And sanctification is obtained by obedience, consecration, and faith. Justification delivers us from guilt and condemnation, and sanctification delivers us from unholy tempers and abnormal appetites. Justification comprehends adoption, making us children of God, and sanctification comprehends anointing, making us kings and priests unto God. Justification is illustrated by a rescue of a sinking man from water, and sanctification is getting the water out of the lungs of the drowning man. This is some pretty good stuff. Sanctification is conditioned on walking in the light as He is in the light. Justification has to do with sin as an act, sins committed. Okay? Sanctification has to do with sin as a principle, the sin nature we inherited. Okay? Justification comes by birth of the Spirit. When repentance of a sinner is born again, when a repentant sinner is born again. Sanctification comes by the baptism with the Holy Spirit when the believer has a personal Pentecost. And like I said, that personal Pentecost, sometimes it's not about when the windows of heaven opens up. Sometimes you just know you're different. I am not the same person I used to be, because you're not doing the same things you used to do, and you're not acting the same way you used to act. And I want to make that clear, because that all the scripture that I read doesn't always end in some speaking in tongues moment or falling out or something like that. It's just knowing that you're different. You're a different person now. You're not the same that you used to be. And that comes when you get saved as well. You know that you've been forgiven. You know, you feel that weight lifted off of you, that your sins have been forgiven. And then when you get sanctified, it's like, I know that I'm a changed person, because I don't have those desires to do the things I used to do any longer. I'm not that person anymore, because I used to be, and I used to struggle with that, and I knew I was saved, and I doubted my salvation, and I had this flip-floppy relationship where I'm always doubting myself whether I was saved or not, because I had all these thoughts going through my mind and these desires that I fought constantly. And then one day you get sanctified and all those desires are gone. And you don't fight that fight any longer, because He's fighting it for you. The Holy Spirit is taking control of that. And that's the difference. That's the difference. And I see so many people that struggle so much with things in their life, and they just have this battle, constant battle, and it really makes them miserable as a Christian. And it's not that they're not saved, because, you know, they believe and they come and they pray. And I've watched people go through this for many years. And it's because they just really haven't surrendered everything to Him and allowed the Holy Spirit to take complete control and take care of that problem for you. Just let Him take care of it. Justification is not a halfway work. And sanctification, you know, justification is fully done. Jesus died on the cross. I mean, He completed that. He said, "It's finished. I completed that. It's done. It's done." So justification is not a halfway work. But sanctification is the completeness of it all. Does that make sense? I hope I've clarified some stuff. And through all of that, that's where we get holiness unto the Lord. That's where we get this holy lifestyle that we live. Because we're guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. The things that we do are the things that Christ would do. And so we live like Him because He lives within us. And we're guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. We don't live by the flesh any longer. We don't live and controlled by the old man anymore. We're controlled by the Holy Spirit. And we live and we walk like He does. And that's what the holy life is about. It's not about how we dress. It's not about how we comb our hair or how long our tie is or whatever that, you know, whatever those things that we've seemed like we've got caught up in at times, you know. And I'm not picking on anything like that. I'm just saying, but it's not about that outward stuff. It's about the inward stuff. Because when you get totally sanctified, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, a lot of things will change because the Holy Spirit's working in your life and you'll do things. You'll dress a certain way, maybe, but you're led by the Spirit to do that. One more thing I wanted to bring out and I'll let you go. Justification is not a halfway work, but a halfway work. They believe that justification comprehends at least 10 perfect works: conviction, surrender, repentance, pardon, regeneration, washing of regeneration, adoption, witness of the Spirit, power, and faith. All those things. And that all persons truly justified have experienced these 10 points. But all this has to do with sins committed and is with only a preparation for sanctification. Because like I said before, being sanctified is the completeness of what God and He wants us to be. It completes that person who He wants us to be. So, like I said, justification is not just a halfway thing, but sanctification is the completeness of who we are supposed to be as a disciple for Christ. I'll put it that way. So I hope that makes sense to you. I hope I've clarified it a little bit. You know, it's called second blessing. Some people call it a perfect work of grace, entire sanctification. It's also known the baptism with the Holy Ghost or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's called all those things. So that, I just encourage you to seek that completeness with Christ. Seek it with Him. You know, if you're struggling with stuff, just seek God with that and just say, Lord, sanctify my heart. Desire the sanctification. Because He will. He says He will. He wants us. He desires His people to be sanctified. He wants us to be holy people. But the only way that we can be holy people is to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and allow the Holy Spirit to do that work, because we cannot be holy people without it. You can't. You cannot. And so I hope that helps. I hope that clarifies some stuff. If not, maybe we got a lot more book. We got a lot more scriptures we can go through. But thanks for listening tonight. And I hope I inspire you to get closer to God. That's my whole goal with this, is to get closer to God and to know what we believe. And, I want everybody to know, if you're a member of this church or you're not a member of this church, I want you to know truly what the church believes and what our doctrinal beliefs are. And I think that's important. I think it's really important.